to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Luke. Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke, the 24th chapter. I remember now the announcements that the Bible study will be the first Saturday in August. And also that weekend, Brother Quinn will be with us for the preaching for the weekend on the 7th for us. So just remember these announcements and all the other things that are said. Sister Rebecca ran me off or got them to run off a thing showing what August meant, and I had looked it up in part, but I didn't get it like this one. But you know, I was saying this morning, Brother Run said the August presence. Well, see, August means inspiring awe or admiration or majestic, you know. So that was an August presence, a majestic. It also has to do with dignifying about a rank of a person, you know, in the high rank and things, because it's called an August lineage in a high rank. So then, you know, and Brother Brown was saying the August presence, the majestic presence of the Lord, but also he's a very high rank too, because that we appreciate it. Amen. So remember that Bible study first Saturday. Brother Quinn will be with us August the 7th. So let's pray. Luke 24. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the hour that we have. Thank you for thy word. And we pray that you would just help us to understand and to, Lord, to walk in the light of your love. We know for a surety that within us, that is within our being and ourselves, we are worthy of nothing and have no thoughts or whatsoever to be that we could be anything other than what you make us. And we thank you, because that way we can just depend totally upon you, and whatever you say we can believe it. We love you and we thank you. Bless each one. Bless the sick. Just reach down and touch our wife, Lord. Deliver her from this hurting in her side and back and all, Lord, and just let everything be well. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll be reading quite a few verses, but from Luke 24, we'll start reading at verse 25. Now, this is when Cleopas and the other one was going from after the rumor of the resurrection and the things that happened, and they were on their road to Emmaus, and Jesus steps out with them because they were real sad, and he begins to talk to them and ask them what was going on. And then, so we'll start reading about verse 25. Because they said, you know, that certain of them had seen him and all like that, and they were wondering. Verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, which means to explain or to interpret, you know, to expound something is to do that. All right. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And now still they didn't see him, see. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he said at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, get the point there. They knew him. They knew who it was because of what he'd done. We'll read in a minute who's known in the breaking of the bread. So, you know, that's what it says here that happened. He took the bread and break it. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Look at it. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. See, they wouldn't have believed it. They're saying, well, he appeared to Simon. Simon says he did. Now we know he did because we've seen him. Yeah. All right. They got something to say about it, right? All right. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. See, he still had the nail prints there. All right. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? In other words, getting down a little plainly, let me show you something here. And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, now here's his opening to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I spoke here just the other week a little bit about this, but I want you to, you know, pay close attention, because according to verse 32, he opened the understanding of the two on the road to Emmaus and concerning himself, all right? And then according to verse 45 there, he opened the understanding of the disciples in the, you know, as they were gathered and everything. He opened their understanding of the scriptures, all right, concerning himself and what he was going to do. All right. Now, he didn't open the understanding of all things. He opened the understanding of what they needed at the time, okay, which was to tie with the resurrection, and how that, what it would be, and how that, who he would be, and how he would have to die, and all that. He didn't open the whole Bible to them, because that wouldn't be the way that you're looking at it. He opened their understanding of the scriptures concerning himself as to what was there and what was taking place and all, you know, and had taken place among them. And then he turns around and he says, now you're witnesses of these things. So they could only be witnesses of the things they had experienced, right? Like I was saying, they come running back, and as they were getting back, as kind of the story would be, you'd look at it like, well, when they get back, maybe they don't run in immediately and tell what's going on, because everybody is so excited and going on and talking about that the resurrection had transpired, and there Peter was, you know, expounding upon it and telling them that he had seen the Lord Jesus. And then they said, well, let us tell you. Then they had something personal to do into it, of their understanding opened. All right. Now, my whole point, I made it then, and I want to make it now in this, as backing up what I said this morning as to the message we were talking about. And I want you to think about it. This is before the day of Pentecost. See? All right? Now, being before the day of Pentecost, then, see, he just opened their understanding of some things. All right? Now, most everybody thinks, and that's, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm just different. You pay attention to most people you think about in the message, and they're talking about that the Lord opened my understanding, and I'm not saying nothing now. I'm just saying it the way I believe. That if that's a revelation, amen. But we can have God to open our understanding of the Scriptures, all right, and that not be the fact that we even have the new birth. Because he done that to the disciples. See, he could open their understanding that they could understand what was going on. Because we were kind of in a delusion. Back when they were in their ministry, you remember there in Matthew that Jesus would give a lot of parables. Right. All right? And as he would give a parable to them, you know, they would, sometimes people would catch on to what the parable was, and most of the time they wouldn't. And then they would ask, and even the scripture refers to it, that they would ask him privately later, you know, maybe that night or something, you know, that later on they would ask him, what did this parable mean? And he would explain it to them. The parable of the sower, the parable of the different things. And then one time he said to them, he said, now it's given unto you. That's Matthew 8, let's see, 13, 11, I think it is, 13. Anyhow, it's in Matthew. It was given to you, it says, given unto you to understand the Scriptures, you know, the parables. But to these I hear, that's not given unto them. All right, so there must be a situation in understanding the Bible in the correct way that maybe even because of our own blindness, we cannot read the Bible and get it in the correct understanding. Now, like I said this morning, we read it and swore that there was three gods, right? We read it and we swore that hell was eternal and all kind of things. And all of the situations in the Bible, we swore by them and said, I give you the scripture for them. You know, well, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. You remember one time after Jesus was talking with some of them and maybe John was hanging a little close to him and maybe Peter said, you know, something about him or some situation there in the scripture. And he said, what's that to thee if he abides till I come? Well, Peter, you know, and Brother Branham was the one that brought this out because we wouldn't have known it because we didn't pay much attention to the Bible. But Peter went around telling the rest of them, John ain't going to die. You know. See? But John wrote it, see, and he inserted maybe into his writings to where that they would clarify it real good. And he wrote it into his writing, and he said, howbeit, he didn't say that John wouldn't die. He just said, what if it is? You know. But a saying went among the disciples that he wasn't going to die. Well, see, that wasn't what he said. All right, now I'm wanting to get a point to you. See, we can have our understanding opened, and it's opened according to how much knowledge we have. You know, I mean, man used to have knowledge years ago that if you traveled a terrific speed of 25 miles an hour, that you would just lift up and go off the earth, you know. Well, I mean, that's what everybody believed. Because nobody had never been over 25 miles an hour, so they couldn't nobody say, yeah, no, that's not right, I've been over 25, you know. But, see, then it come a day until it happened. Well, see, according to their knowledge, that's what they understood. In medical science, they used to, when you got certain sicknesses, or basically got sick, you know, and down and out. They just pull a couple of fingernails out and bleed you a pint of blood, you know, and your body would reproduce itself. And in doing that, then it would actually heal the body, and you would get well. Well, what do you think about that today? I mean, how many of you got doctor's appointments tomorrow, and you're going to go into the doctor, and he pulls off a couple of toenails and says, let her bleed. You know, or reaches over and gets a scalpel and just whacks a little place, and he says, let it go. I know this happened that my niece, you know, the Rh factor that you have, and when they were, they waited a few days too late to change the blood, and they actually, if they can catch it real quick, back in the old days, they could change it through the Naval Corps. And but then after then, they would have to do it. And I remember they cut my little niece, you know, just all over and let her bleed that blood out as they were putting more blood in. That was an old medical way. Now they got shots to give you that takes care of this, that, or the other. But that's the point of what I'm saying. Our understanding is according to what we are surroundings, are what we, you know, what we're affiliated with. You know, to understand. All right. See, in doing that, then apply that to the Bible. That the Bible was written, see, but man couldn't even understand the natural writing. Now, when it says in the Bible, Jesus wept. See, well, what is the problem? See, now we ought to know that meant he cried. Well, I don't believe he could cry because he was God. If he was God, he couldn't cry. That must mean some other word there. See? And then they said if we could get the original Greek, you know, and all of this, that, and the other, and get everything just right, we'd have an understanding of the Bible. The prophets, you remember what he said? He said, surely they had the Greek and the things right back when they was back there, you know, when things were said, and they couldn't understand. And see, even to, you know, understanding like in Matthew 21, you know that those Pharisees, at times they caught on, they understood. At times their understanding of their head knowledge was opened, and they realized that Jesus was talking about them. Right? See, that he was talking about them. They had an understanding. Whereas when one guy heard it, you know, he goes back to the priest and he says, well, he's talking about this, and he's talking about thorns, and he's talking about thistles, he's talking about this, and that, and the other. He said, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. Because I'm not acquainted with all the parables. So he says, well, I'll just go listen to him. He goes and sits down, and he listens to him, and he comes up with it. He said, he's talking about me and you. You know, their understanding was opened. You understand the point I'm making? Your understanding can be opened without it being a revelation. As I said the other day when I was speaking on this a little, the Oral Roberts University has Brother Branham's incomplete message. Well, they lay it out and those students can read it. Well, you know, they can read there's just one God, just like you read there's one God. They can read that hell is not eternal. Right? And they can read all of the things that lays it out. And Brother Branham, you know, saying, well, now go check this out. Get the Greek words. Get this. And they go into the big professor and they say, Professor, we found something. Yeah. Said, this William Branham don't believe in hell's eternal. We don't discuss that part because we've been taught and we know that hell is eternal and we're not going to listen to it. So put that part out, and eventually they would put the whole message out, right? But you understand what I'm getting at. See? You can have your understanding opened. I've always said it. This is not something you would come in to study in this message. You know this statement has always been, that I wish that I had revealed in my heart what I have in my head. Right? The prophet's message, the Bible and things. I wish it was revealed. And see, I've said that, and I did to one brother one time, and he said, well, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, I done that before I got the new birth. He said, what do you mean? See, to him, the new birth was just reading the Bible and getting some understanding you know, from that. But see, that's, to me, that's not the new birth. If it is, the Pharisees had it. See, they surely knew the exact lettering of the scriptures and the things. Because like I said, they even said, we know he's talking about us. See, so you can have your understanding opened. And that's what my whole point now, whole message, all right, is what? Could it be that what we have is an understanding? Or is it a revelation? Now, I say, and I won't back up from it, and I believe you'll agree, that you see people go in the message for quite a while. That they can even quote it so much verbatim until you're amazed at their ability to tell you what Brother Branham has said on a topic or a subject or whatever. And yet, then you see them later just leave the message. Yeah. Well, now there's something wrong. If that was revelation, how could you leave the message? You know. All right. And like my wife says about it, she says, anybody can take Brother Branham's message and the Bible and study it a while and make a speech that's, you know, it would amaze anybody, you know. And like I say, that our children could tell the theologians about the revelation of one God. Why? Because they've read it so much. See? We've read it for what? 50 some people here that'd be going on to 50 years that you've been around this message. It surely be somewhere we ought to have a little knowledge. You know what I'm fixing to say, and the way to always say it. You know, people say, well, beware of them, quoting Brother Branham, you know, beware of them has got the answer to everything. And I always say, well, beware of them that's been around 40, 50 years and ain't got an answer for nothing. No, I mean, that's just, you know, to me, that maybe I shouldn't be that blunt about saying things, but why not? Because, see, if it's not revelation, it's just intellect.
Right.
And see, then having just an intellectual conception about something is very dangerous. Because at that position, you will think it's the Holy Spirit that has quickened it to you. Now, let's go back to what we were talking about this morning now. Right. So then, by the prophet bringing it to us, it was the Holy Spirit upon the prophet, right? See, the anointing was upon the man to bring us the message. The anointing was upon each of these writers that we read of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, James, and all, you know, Jude and them. The anointing was upon them to write what God was saying to us. All right? That was that anointing. But without that anointing inside of us, or the anointed God inside of us, the new birth, then we'll only get an intellectual conception, and no matter how much intellectualism you get, even if you got it to word that it's perfect, Brother Thomas might remember who it was, but Brother George and Brother Moat and Brother Tatum and them, I think, was talking to a man from some, wasn't Bob Jones University, was it? Seemed like it was some university that the guy came down to actually try to, you know, talk them out of the true one true and living God. And, you know, and he could quote the entire Bible by memory. Now, that's wonderful. I mean, I wish I had it. But it's like I said this morning, I can't hardly quote John 3:16. You said, yeah, you ought to be ashamed. Well, I am. But I've never tried to learn it by memory. I try to read it to see what is being said to me. And that way, then I want it that way. See? But see, it doesn't matter if we could get it all. You know, Satan, he has a great understanding. See, a great understanding of the Bible. But does that make him born again? See, I mean, you try to quote with him the message, he knows it. I gave you one quote in there where this man, where Brother Brown said that he had the understanding of the Bible or understanding of the Word to tell to Eve, in other words. See? He had things back there that we wouldn't think about. He had a knowledge of the principles of life and what it would consist of and how the egg and the germ would mix between the beast and Eve. See? He had a lot of understanding. And anytime you think you can outquote the devil, you're in bad shape. You know. Because he knows it. But he only knows it, the prophet said, by intellectual conception. He don't know it by Holy Ghost experience. Well, now, that don't put it, see, when you start talking like that, people say, well, what do you mean? You don't want us to read the Bible? You don't want us to be illiterate? Now, I didn't say that, now. I didn't say you need to be illiterate. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See? So then, don't go into the state of confusion when I'm trying to speak. Just go with what I'm talking about and listen. Don't get out ahead of me. See, that's the worst thing in the world. You get out ahead of the preacher, and you get out ahead of me a lot of times, you get your limb sawed off, and you've done that, so don't do it. Because you think I'm going this way, and I don't go that way. All right? But now, just think about what we're trying to say. See, Jesus, according to the Scriptures, had not been crucified, according to John 7, 38, 39. And the Scripture said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, referring to the day of Pentecost when it would come. But, see, they couldn't understand that. Why? Because at that time, if you go on reading there, it says, because the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. All right? So you can have your understanding opened. And listen, that's the only way. You know how that I preached? Everybody's ever been around here any time at all. Well, the older ones with us. I've always taught you that we must have the seed sowed down in the field before the rain can fall on it. You know. I mean, you know, you stand there and you got your seed in your hand. You said, boy, bless, look at my corn. No, yeah. Look at my corn. You don't see my corn? Now put it in the ground. Sow the seed, let the rain come, and then we'll see you got corn. See? All right. See? But has God opened our understanding, you know, to the Scriptures, or is it revealed to us? Now, let me illustrate then. Brother Branham had the opening of his understanding of the Scriptures to be able to tie together things and all, but yet, until the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he believed that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. And that's your prophet now. But see, don't you think he had a great understanding? He read continually. Don't you think he understood? But yet there was something there that was withholding from him. Now, could it be that way with you and I? See, I wrote it this way. There's a vast difference between having an understanding open and having a revelation of what is understood. There's a vast difference in it. And that way, as I said, you can tell it because a revelation will keep you. But head knowledge will just lead you to more head knowledge. You know, it'll just keep blowing you up and you'll start trying to figure out words and figure out why this and why that. Or like we said this morning, you know, then you'll read the Scriptures and you'll say, see, there the Bible said, I don't need nobody to teach me. The Holy Ghost is my teacher. All right. But see, why did he put teachers in the body? If the Holy Ghost is only the thing that you need. All right, then it's like I said, you know, I know that when I talk blunt. That way you don't misunderstand me. I don't believe there's anybody. Now, you might not know what I'm saying. You might not understand what I'm saying or trying to get at. But there's one thing about it. You don't misunderstand my language. You know, see, then if God can quicken it, we don't have to worry about it. But if he don't quicken it, it's just head knowledge. It's a concept or a thought. Why would Brother Branham make this statement? He said, I don't believe that we're getting the people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, he said. All right? May I phrase it on? We're getting them to a doctrine. We're getting them to an idea. But if all you have is head knowledge about a doctrinal situation, somebody can come along and convince you different of that. He can show you where this Greek word means this and that Greek word means that, and you put your punctuation here and you put the division there, and when you wind up, you say, well, you know. And like I told you, I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Mode, all he had to say to me, he said, what do you believe? I was a Baptist, believed in one God. He said, explain it to me. I said, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He said, you're just as Trinitarian as everything else is. Because to be a person is a personality is an individual is a person. Well, you know, I didn't get mad and run to the books and read and try to find out what Dr. So-and-so said about it or who said about it or whatever or what school. I looked at him and I said, well, don't believe that no more. I didn't know what to believe, maybe, but I didn't believe that. I never did no more after then believe in God in three persons because he done proved his point to me. All right. See, then that away, see, our understanding can be opened, but we need the revelation. See, we can have the mechanics, as Brother Branham will describe it, are the words sown down in our hearts, but we need the dynamics. The disciples had the word. David, even, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. David loved God's word. They loved that word so much back there in the Old Testament one time until they found a scroll that they didn't know existed. And the Bible said they stood for 6 hours while they read that scroll and they worshiped 6 hours. That was people that's not even born again. Because there's no way to be born again in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. That's what I was giving you, that John 7 there. Because he hadn't been glorified. In other words, he hadn't been crucified. Right. See, then, could it be that what we have mostly is an understanding? All right, now don't misunderstand me. We've got to have the understanding. See? It's not revelation first. It's not that you pick up the Bible and you, oh man, I see that. You know, you pick up a prophet's message. And that's what gets me, you know, and I'm sorry. I try to emphasize it to help you. But people tell you, boy, when I read that, and that's it. I just picked up a book and I read and God revealed it right there. And I see it. Well, why has everybody else fought it out for 40 years? You know. I mean, you know. And I'm not saying it don't happen. I'm just saying that it didn't happen to me. See? But you see, we need the word sown down in us. Those disciples had that word by the Lord Jesus. Now, that's what people say, you know, I'm going to stay at home and listen to tapes. And I'm not going to do nothing, just listen to Brother Branham. I'm going to get it firsthand. Well, the disciples got 3.5 years of firsthand information from a man they could question about what he was talking about. And they still wound up with no understanding. You agree? They wound up at the end of it and didn't know what in the world he was talking about. Right? And he had explained it to them. He had expounded on it. And that's what he done with the disciples. He opened their understanding. But that didn't give them the new birth. Well, Brother Dale, you know, I've studied the message. I believe I got the Holy Ghost because what's in me agrees with the Word. Well, that's okay if it keeps on agreeing. But we are in the day when we've seen people 30 years preach the message, right? Preachers. We don't talk about the laity. I get on the preachers. I don't worry about the laity. I don't have no trouble with laity. I have trouble with preachers. Right? But you see, preachers, 30, 40 years that they've been in this message, hunted, fished, and lived basically with a prophet or something. And then you see them, the worst confused people that's ever been about what the prophet had to say. That's... You know, I know. That makes me mean, old guy, you know. Why? Why? Because I expose it. But people don't realize who the ones that you expose is the problem. You know. But you see, I've been accused of being an intellectual. Why, after 40 years, why wouldn't you be intellectual? I don't mind saying that. After 40 years, you studied one message? But could it be that we read over it and still that's a point too? You know, it's not time to understand something, and you know what, you get it and you read over it. The message hasn't, now of course they're changing a whole lot of it. We find that out with the computer systems and things, and if everybody here was on to the new version of that they have out from Jeffersonville, I'd click over to it to bring you the quotes from it, because there is a better opportunity. So we have to use two versions. Our computer system will not handle the old version to put it on the internet, so we have to translate it into the new version of it to be able to take it out onto the internet system. All right. So, you know, so I started today helping Richard and them. That's what Joe and them has to do. See, I give them a quote from something. I give them one, and it's page 26, Revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, see, then they've got to go run that into the computer in there under the new message, because it won't accept this part to be able to put it on the air. So, you know, there's a lot of things in understanding, but still, I'm not arguing with nobody. I just said if we all had it, I found a lot of misunderstandings between it, and found, like, even studying on this message, if you'll run in, open our understanding, you'll find more under the new version than you do under the old, but you'll also find that they changed some words. And they used opening instead of open. See? And, you know, they'll change in to buy or something, because they're upgrading the best they can do. And I'm not arguing with nobody. I'm just telling you, all right? I'm telling you that's what we do with understanding. Understanding is progressive, what is it? Understanding would be progressive knowledge. In other words, you keep on growing and going, you know, and understanding. We didn't need to know how to fly an airplane 100 years ago. See? The Wright brothers was just beginning to talk about it. And if you heard the story about it, their daddy took them out of a meeting where this guy prophesied that they would one day they would come forth somebody and they would fly through the sky. And they said that daddy got them up and took these two boys out of the building. That's what was told now. And, you know, it was Orville and Wilbur Wright, you know, the two guys that did start the plane later. But the point I'm trying to get at is we believe in progressive understanding. All right? Now, let me ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe in progressive revelation? Amen. Not added revelation. Right. No. Not different revelation. Progressive. Right. Something being revealed to you here, and then later more on it. Well, then, if it is, that means you're going to have progressive understanding. Right? I mean, that's simple, right? Progressive revelation would require progressive understanding, you know, or growth, development, and all like that. That's what we're doing here, see? But now, while we're on that part where I won't forget it because it's in my mind, then as I've tried to preach to you that if we don't have the word sown down correctly, why Brother Branham would be so zealous of the word that he had sown. He said to sow it down pure and unadulterated. That's what I think it's what it's spoken word's original seed. He said the seed has been sown down pure and unadulterated from all mankind. All right, now. You know, at that time he made that statement was 1962. And at that time he didn't know the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. He didn't know that till 63. See, so his understanding was progressive as he came along. All right. See, the Bible even said Jesus growed in grace and knowledge. All right. Now, but get it. That's why I think that we don't see things, maybe you don't look at it like I do, because, see, Jesus goes out and he gets baptized. He goes out into the wilderness, you know, in the desert, and he comes back. And when he comes back, then he walks into the temple one day, and they handed him a book, and he sat there and said, well, let's see, what am I going to read? No, he probably opened it up. And he looked down and he read Isaiah 62 or 61, or which one it is there, you know, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He folds a book. He lays it down. As I was saying this morning, I had those in the notes this morning to bring. The greatest anointing of all was there sitting in the temple. And what did it say? Precious words proceeded forth from him. He wasn't running all over the building shouting, glory, hallelujah. He was sitting down talking to him. The prophet, I gave you the quotes this morning, anointing is supreme power in control. See, we call it shouting. Well, it's all right when you shout. It's like, I like what the prophet said. He said, it's okay to shout and jump up in the air. He said, but make sure you walk straight when you come back down. See, that's not quoted a lot. All right? They quote the shout and the glory, hallelujah, you know. But they don't quote that, you know. Make sure you walk straight. All right, now, if you got the Holy Ghost, see, you're going to walk straight. You see, I can't get away from the morning's message. Get on what I'm talking about. All right. But Brother Branham covers, I gave you three quotes there about the opening of the understanding. So you can read those as you go along. That he opened the understanding of the disciples. You know, the Lord Jesus did. He even uses the word expounded on the one that's the one called a court trial, 1964. He even says he expounded upon the scriptures. All right. Now, he opened their understanding of the scriptures. Now, listen, that didn't give them the new birth. But you know what? Had he not opened their understanding of the scriptures, they could not have gotten a new birth. It was not because they happened to wind up in an upper room. And they said, where are you going tonight? You got something to eat? Yep, we're going to an upper room, sit down and eat. I think I'll go along with you. Not knowing nothing about what's going on. No, 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 no. You heard the prophet say it. They were up there. Maybe one of them said, I think we've got it. We know. We've got our commission. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Preach the gospel. Let's go do it. And said, one of them said, yeah, but said, what Jesus said hasn't taken place yet. So they had their understanding opened as to what they were to be and how they were to have a ministry and what it was to bring. But they did not have the revelation of Jesus Christ dwelling within them. Right? But had they not had it sown down, that's my point. Now listen, that's why that it's required then, and I didn't write this Bible, nor the prophet's message, but it's required that we believe in a fivefold ministry. Huh? See, it's required. It's not something that we can take or leave. I didn't make the statements. Brother Randall said that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. Then, if somebody don't sow that word down, it can't be quickened. Is that sensible enough? People call me deep. Now, how deep is that? Simplicity is the deep end of anything. Now, you think it goes the other way. No, it don't. God is hidden and revealed in simplicity as you go down. Not go up. Simplicity is intellectual. No, I don't have no intellect. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, it's all right. Go ahead. But you see, now with all behind what I've said, that even Brother Branham thought his understanding was opened and thought the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost. But yet when it was revealed, it wasn't correct. Right? See, he didn't come out there and say, well, bless God, I tell you what, I'm still going to believe what I'm going to believe. No, he took what the Holy Spirit had to say. And he said, here it is. My point is this. There is, show me anywhere. Now, I want somebody, I challenge you in the Bible. Show me anywhere in the Bible that they receive the Holy Ghost without hearing the message. Anybody can find it? Bring it to me. Anywhere in the Bible that they receive the Holy Ghost without first hearing a message. Right? That's why I've tried to explain the day of Pentecost, is what Brother Brown would say. I met people who got the Holy Ghost 50 years before. just like the day of Pentecost. Why? Because in the upper room you had a group of people that had been tutored and trained for 3.5 years and had their understanding open, and the Holy Ghost fell and it gave them what we call the faith of the fathers, which is right here. Not that headstone now, that's love. Not it. All right. But see, when the Holy Ghost fell on the 3,000 outside, it could only give them the new birth at faith, because they didn't have the word of understanding. See, what's been happening all these years, God has been opening our understanding of the Scriptures. At least He has mine. That's the way I do, and why I preach that way. That's why I'll preach something, and then I'll come back years later, and I'll pick it up and go on up a step or two, and sometimes I'll go up one step, and sometimes I go 4 or 5. But, that's what I believe. I believe in progressive revelation, and I come and tell you what God is revealing to me. All right? See, then that way our understanding, as it's open, it doesn't mean that it's revealed. See? The mechanics is the sowing down of the word. The opening of your understanding. It's the mechanics. The word being read and understood and really getting to the basis. I'm like this. I've come to the basis that Brother Branham said certain things, and that there's no other way he could have said it beside that. See, and I hear people say, well, he should have said this, and he should have said that, and he should have said this. No, he couldn't have said it no other way. Yeah. Because that's what it means. That was what God wanted. So it's the Bible that way. But we need somebody to open our understanding. Now, that's where your fivefold ministry comes in. Now, if anybody out there, anywhere, surely would have any idea that Brother Dale is against people reading and studying the message, you come and talk to these people that are sitting here where I tell them you ought to read and study the Bible more than I do. You ought to know more about this message than I know about it. Because you don't have to study for a sermon. You can just read. I have to read related to what I'm going to preach on. And then on a rare occasion, I get to read a book or listen to a tape. See, because, I'm studying in a line and I want to keep it in that line. And that's why when I preach it, that I don't worry about getting, garbage back off the internet. Well, you missed it here and you missed it there. I'm sure one of these days they'll do it, but they hadn't done it yet. And so out there, as much as there is, that they'd sure love to do it. But that's the point now. Not that we're that good, it's the Holy Ghost is that good. He's the one that's protected us. Not me. It's been the Holy Ghost. See? But see, you must hear the word before the word can be quickened. See? Somebody's got to preach it, and that's where the preacher comes in. See? How can we hear, the Bible said, without a preacher? Right? Is that Bible? But see, you don't hear the preacher quote the rest of it. He wants to quote that end of it. But the rest of it says, if he be sent, how can he preach unless he's sent? The saying, he just got up and went, but that's jokes. We're not even make about the Bible. But you see, if somebody don't preach it to us, we can't get an opening of our understanding. Right? Well, I just read the prophet. Well, amen. Like I told a man one time, he's telling me about, how that these people just listening to the tapes is fine. I said, you show me a church listening to tapes, only listen to tapes, and I'll show you a backslidden bunch of people. And I don't mean backslid if not going to church. That's automatic. But I said, I'll show you a backslidden bunch of people. I said, you want to argue the point? He said, my brother is in it. I said, yep, and he's backslid. He finally said, yeah, you're right. See? Yep. All right. That's what I'm saying. People without someone to help us. What is it in Philip? With the Ethiopian eunuch. Now he was reading the scrolls of Isaiah, and he said, is this man talking about himself or another? See? Reading. Understanding open. He just simply told him what that meant. You say, told him what? Yeah, it meant exactly what it said. It says, in other words, the Bible just plain and saying like this, say, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will do this, and my handmaids will do this. See, your sons, Antichrist, serpent seed. See? Because the Spirit's poured out now upon all flesh. Anointed ones. Brother Branham didn't change that reading, you know. He changed our understanding of what we had read. You agree? See, that's what we need, is to change our understanding. We read it and swore. Oh, man, we took that Bible. We swore there was three gods. Well, look at that. 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 We swore by them being three gods. Now, we can swear by there just being one. But is what's changed? Is it a revelation or just an intellect that you got? Just a head knowledge. The prophet of God said, pray for a revelation. He said, you need revelation more than you need anything. Pray for a revelation. All right? See? Like I told you one time, I had something came up and I had notes written for to preach on a message, and I was getting ready to preach it, and I would have challenged anybody because I had the quotes, I had the Bible and everything. And God didn't argue with me. He didn't talk to me long. You know what he said? Now this is all he said. He said, if you do that, you make your type greater than your antitype. That was all he said. He didn't explain to me what he was talking about. He didn't explain the scriptures that I had messed up. He didn't show me anything like that. He just told me, if you do that, you'll get your type will be greater than your antitype. Well, see, how can your type be greater than your antitype? Your type is like a canoe, you know. And an antitype is like an ocean liner, you know. See, you know, the blood of a lamb is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, if you go backwards, you've got a problem. See, you're trying to go back. You wouldn't want to go out there this afternoon and get in an old T model. Now, Donnie would, but, you know, he's just that away. He'd rather ride home the T model than a Cadillac, but that's his way. You let him get a little older, and he won't care nothing about it. He wants the air conditioner turned on, you know. But, listen. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be then, I'm asking you the question, wouldn't it be then that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be on our intellectualism, and that would be why we would be called then anointed ones? Is it not true that Brother Branham says that they take part of the word and make it work? Is that a quote? Okay. Even your deals of spiritualism, we have been told, and I've witnessed a little bit, but not just talking with people, but Brother Branham said that they travel in the three high names, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, they're based on the Bible. They've had an understanding made of this scripture, but then they take it to themselves and they make it spiritualism, see? What about it? But get the point now. How can we hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless he be sent? If he don't have the Holy Spirit within him to be able to bring it out, then all of his expounding upon it will not do any good. Because I've asked you this question many times. How can the Holy Spirit quicken error when your prophet says it can't be done? See? That shouldn't need a revelation to think he would quicken error. You know, I heard a man one time, he said, boy, I shouted over the Trinity and I shout over the truth. I said, well, you're shouting. You know, I mean, that was good, but I'd hate to make the statement I shouted over the Trinity. You know, to think it was right. You know, see? But see, we need somebody to take the message and break it down to us as to understanding it. Now, that's what Brother Branham said, and Brother Ray, give me the quote that's on, what is it, because I should have brought it. But he said, these young men will take this and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. Things that are to be, Brother Branham said, that these young men will take it and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. Well, you know, I'm not qualified much in that young anymore. I was back then, but it's all right. But he said they'd sweep it on. He said, in other words, I break it down in big nuggets. See, he left a job for the fivefold ministry. See? He left a job, and that same anointing that was in the Lord Jesus was in Brother Branham speaking it, and then that must be in the fivefold ministry, or they won't speak it correctly. And if they won't speak it correctly, how can the Holy Spirit that's even in you quicken something that's not true? He's having to sort out what is not right and tell you those things are not right. See? That's why we must have a fivefold ministry. That's not making me a job. I don't consider preaching a job. I consider it the greatest opportunity to ever be. Who was it years ago was probably going to step down from being a preacher and run for president? Now that's the biggest shame of anything could ever be. Yeah, y'all called it. I didn't want to put his name out there. But you mean me step down from preaching the gospel, the greatest position of anywhere in the world, behind a 90 little people in Lula, Georgia, and me step down and run for president? Don't ask me. That'd be a shame. I'm in the highest position in this world. To stand and try to speak to you about what God has given me. And I don't speak to you unless He gives it to me about something. Sure, I can open the Bible and just preach a sermon. Yeah, that's what people think. And that's what they think preaching is. All right? So listen a minute. And I'm not... See, you misunderstand me. I'm sorry. People think preaching is emotionalism. And I was saying this morning to where that they get you involved into the message, because that's where we was. Brother Dick might not remember. We was up at a minister's meeting, and that guy got people involved, and Brother Dick reached on punch me and he said he's trained. He's trained. But you know what happened at the end of after it's over with? He spoke and I spoke. Now here was this man. I know what he's trying to do, so don't misunderstand me. I know he was trying to get in my pocket and win me, so I ain't worried about it, because I wasn't gonna get one, you know. But he said, you got what I went to school to learn. I said, what? He said, you got what I went to school to learn. He said, you got it from this natural. He said, I'll trade with you any day. I believe the man meant the truth about it. Of course, I know he's trying to get me in his pocket with him to ride his horse with him, but I wouldn't want to ride that horse, because they used to ride it out west and bury the books like all these others did. But anyhow, I'm just me. But I believe that somebody has to expound it to us. Well, now, Brother Dale, who do you listen to? I listen to all the fivefold ministry that I can get a chance to. Because I am one person that believes in a fivefold ministry. I've told you before and tell you again, if I could find a real true prophet that I knew and could put the confidence in that man as a prophet in the fivefold ministry, not outside of it and all these other garbage cans, I'd call him in and tell him, says, start with me at the front and go to the back and tell every one of us what's wrong with us. Because that would be what a prophet would be, dealing with those things. You see, I believe in the fivefold ministry. And I believe it so much that I believe that this thing is hinged upon whether or not you can listen to a fivefold ministry and believe that God has spoken to you. But if God could use a dumb donkey to speak, or a rooster to crow, or anointed ones to preach a message to you, why can't we believe in at least the anointing? Forget the person. I know I don't have the mannerism, the things, you know, of being a preacher. I've never tried to be. Ask Joyce what kind of clothes I wear to Walmart, and she'll tell you. Red, green, pink, and blue with tennis shoes, and them tore all to pieces, you know. Because I'm just myself. And I'd just about wear that here if it wasn't for the fact that you're just not supposed to be that way. Because I love my old blue jeans. I ain't like Brother Gary now. Brother Gary loves them with holes in them, but I like mine to be a little better now. But now get what I'm saying. The fivefold ministry is supposed to be for the perfecting of the saints. Now I believe, and I'm going to say it, so just go ahead. I believe that that has been one of the biggest hindrances that this message has ever had, is the people cannot believe in the fivefold ministry. All right, now I'm going to be first up front to tell you that if you're talking about a lot of these preachers around the country, I don't believe in them either. Okay? No problem. I just don't believe in them either. Because I don't believe in living like the devil and having four wives and 19 kids and all of these garbage cans you got that claim to be preachers in this message. But you know what? They're just as popular. You go to these meetings somewhere. Oh, there's old brothers. I'm going over to shake Brother So-and-so's hand. And this guy standing over there that could help you like everything. Him. I'd rather be that. And that's what they're saying, you know. But I believe that our problem is we don't believe in the ministry. Amen. And I've told you. I don't blame you. I blame the ministry. That's what sent us on the internet, folks. It's me going out among people and go out and it got heartbreaking to go and people, and you'd see them want to come and talk to you. And they want to ask you questions. And I said, listen, I can't answer questions. But just go on. We do have the tapes and things, you know. I'm not trying to win anybody, but just if you want to hear what I've said about it, go to the internet or go to back then the old taping system. And you know what a lot of them would say? I can't do it. My pastor won't let me. Well, that tore my heart. Because they want to hear the truth, but their pastor won't let them. So I just opened up and said, okay, be what you want to. Call me what you want to. It's on the internet. You can listen to it. I'm not out yonder trying to win churches and win people to the message. To this church and to come here. I've never said that. All right? But you see, I don't believe that we trust the fivefold ministry. And you know, really, I don't believe we understand a fivefold ministry. Now, this is my whole point. I believe that it's going to take the fivefold ministry to expound upon the scriptures. See, for us to be able to come to the place to understand Brother Branham's message. Because why would it be the way he said that was what it was to be? The Bible said that was what it was to be. Why would there be an argument about it? See, people get upset with me for bringing that out. And then like one brother said one time, he said, I think Brother Dale's a teacher. And brother just sniggered like everything. Teacher. He said, what are you? I'm a pastor. He said, well, that's just one of them. You know, there's five of them. What's the problem with Brother Dale being a teacher if you're a pastor? But you know, the pastors are in no way going to turn around and turn the money back into the tape recorders. Right? They're going to be pastors with the money in the pocket. But then they're going to be, well, you can't listen to these other stuff, you know. Beware. Be careful. You get confused. In other words, beware. Who was it? It was back there in one of them. Might have been, I forgot. A.A. Allen, one of them, said, don't go down there and find out you're already confused. One of the great evangelists said that one time because they said, don't go down there and get confused. He said, don't go down there and find out you're already confused. But see, I don't believe we understand the fivefold ministry. With all of that said, I don't blame people, see, because you hear preachers, they'll preach something and then 6 months later they're on something else and 6 months later they're on something else and then they run off into the world and they're out doing all kind of, you know, and it's made a shame and a disgrace to be called a preacher. I don't like that. I don't even like to be called a preacher. Call me brother. See? Why? Because there's so many garbage can preachers. The poor old laity, what can they do? Brother Brown said, he said, sheep will eat out of a garbage can if they have to, because they got to live. But the Bible says, Jesus to the Pharisees, you stand in the door, and you won't go in, and you won't let them go in. But see, we need somebody to open our understanding. And it's not to open our understanding that we need a fivefold ministry. That's plain. Right? See? All right? That's the book, as Brother Dick said. That's it. Brother Branham said it. That's it. It's not that. But to open our understanding of the things Brother Branham has said, that the Bible has said. See, like I gave the illustration the other day. How many of you would love to have a revelation that the Bible and the prophet said, by having a new birth, you're just as righteous as God is? Oh, I'd love for that to be revealed to me. I'd be running all over this place. Wouldn't you? I can see it. And then I lose it. And then I find it. Right? One day I'm doing pretty good. The next day I'm lost. Brother, the hell, I tell it like it is. I don't play around. See? But you see, he gave some apostles. Now, I've explained that to you, right? He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. See, a lot of people think that he just gave some. He just lumped a group down like that. I never have believed that. I believe he gives you what you need. That's why it said he gave some apostles. It emphasized. Some people need a teacher. Some people can get by with just a pastor. See? But I just never was that way. And I just want to hear more. And, you know, and I'm always wanting desire to hear. And now listen, I'm trying to get a point to you where he says he opened their understanding. I'm not talking about a revelation. Okay? Because I can't reveal anything to you. Brother Branham can't reveal anything to you. See? The Lord Jesus said, my own life did not reveal that. That's paraphrasing it with what Brother Branham said was said there. He said, only the Holy Ghost, Christ the mystery of God revealed. The Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the Word. No man can do it. But if it's not sown down, as I said a while ago, if it's not sown down correctly, how can the Holy Ghost quicken it? That's what's been wrong for 40-something years is why we're here. See? It's because that even just a little thought in their ideas, as I said a moment ago when I had that message and the Lord spoke to me, I thought it was a message, and he said, you make your type greater than your antitype. You know, I shredded that thing, man. I burned it. I done everything. I didn't want nobody to know what I had written down. Because it was wrong. And I knew it was wrong then. But listen, we need somebody to come on the scene to open our understanding. Now, when I say this, it's been for 40, almost 40-something years standing behind here that you know I've said this. The first time I read the Bible, and I was at the Baptist church, joined the Baptist church, 1958. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I had been to church all of my life up and down, but if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know what God said in His Word. So I set out to read the Bible. Of course, we all got stars for doing them, but I wasn't caring about the stars. I wanted to know what He said. When I got to Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, I went to my wife and I told her, I said, according to what my understanding of the Bible is here, that there's going to be two prophets come before the end of the world. And, you know, I just read it, Malachi 3 and Malachi 4. Well, when Brother Moat began to talk to me about God sending a prophet, I said, where's it at in the Bible? He said, Malachi 4. I said, okay, explain Malachi 3. He said, John the Baptist. I said, put it in the Scripture. He said, well, here it says it. Did he turn the hearts of the fathers to the children? You know, or whatever, which way it goes there in Luke, I think it is. But I said, okay. But we understood this to be on down further in the verse that said that he turned a disobedient to the... He said, yep. And if you did, you'd turn them right back where you brought them from. See? If John turned them this way and then turned them back, he'd go right back where you start at. Okay. You know, that opened my understanding. See? The point is, I believe the Bible. And by reading it over and over, you get a better understanding. You quote it to me a lot because it's true that you read the Bible one time or you read the prophet's message one time and you get something. And you go back and read the same message or the same scripture and you get more. Not a different meaning. If you get a different meaning, something was wrong one of the two. See? It can't be both of them's right. So you get a better understanding is what's happening, and that's going into your intellectualism. See? But then every once in a while, God drops it down. I said every once in a while. Because that's the way I believe it, and that's the way he does it to me. You ought to be surprised sometimes. I preach for 3 months on something, and I don't know where in the world I'm going from here. I don't know what I'm going to preach on. And I'm in that stage, and we'll take some sermons. And I know what I'm preaching, and I know what I'm trying to preach, that we're getting to the understanding of the change of the body. But, you know, but then something will open. Boy, that's wonderful. Woo-hoo, I'm headed that way. But you get in that about 3 or 4 sermons, and all at once, you see the end of what you're talking about. You say, Lord, come on, please. Please, as John said, Lord, come quickly. Because I'm running out. You know. And I've never said no problem about it. Wouldn't bother me to come call Wade Sunday morning and say, Wade, you going to preach? Or we ain't going to have no services. Because I don't have anything. That wouldn't bother me no more than taking a drink of water. But you know, God's been gracious. He's always helped me. Because right about that time is when he opens a lot to you. All right. But you see, he meets us along the way and reveals the scriptures to us every once in a while. We couldn't stand it for him to reveal it all at one time. It just wouldn't work. We would be so much out of it, we wouldn't be human. See, but he gradually opens the scriptures by revealing them. But if we don't keep putting it into the field, that's why I encourage you, listen to the tapes, read the prophet's message, study. See? A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing. How are you going to know whether I'm telling you the truth or not? You've got to know it by what's made known to you. And sometimes the Lord, you just get in, and sometimes he leaves these kind of words. He leaves you and he don't answer you. You ever done that? You ask him about something, he leaves you and don't answer you. I remember years ago when a certain brother said certain thing in the church I was in, and I prayed, Lord, and I fasted. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to fast till you speak to me about this, because it's desperate to me, you know, in my life. And I told you about it, and then brother was reading a book, and he said, Brother Dale, explain this. Well, I'd went 3 days fasting, and he said, explain this. I can't understand. Well, I took the book and just looked at it, and there was exactly what I had asked the Lord about in letters laying in front of me. Don't use the Bible and the message for a Ouija board. But I've never, you know, I've told you. When I've always had to get something from God, I took the Bible and dropped it. Don't do that. You're not, that's not your calling. That's not your ways. Don't do that with God. That's something between me and God. But he's never failed. I mean, to the words on the page. One time, it didn't work. And I said, Lord, it's never failed me before now, Lord. What's wrong? And I thought, well, you know, I've got into it myself, Lord, and I'm sorry. You know, I was crying and apologizing, I'm sorry. He said, go back to the top of the page. Because see, when I put my finger there, my answer would be actually what I'd read the verse of scripture. He said, go back to the top of the page. I didn't listen. I kept on. He come again, go back to the top of the page. I just turned and looked back at the top of the page. There was in very words exactly what I'd asked him. But see, don't do that because you're not called for that. It's something God told me. And that don't make me nothing. And I don't do that to try to get you to believe me. If you can't know what I preach, you don't need a sign. A sign wouldn't do you any good if you can't believe what somebody preaches right out of the Bible. That's the reason I don't talk about the things sometimes that God shows me, because I don't want you built up on some something. I want you built up on what this Bible says. But this Bible says God will do these things. He will open our understanding of the Scriptures. But it may be a while before He reveals it to us. But don't get disenchanted along the way. Ask God for a revelation. Like I told you, that brother said, well, what do you mean a revelation? That is a revelation. It's not a revelation just to be able to read Brother Branham's books. It's not a revelation. If it is, Oral Robertson's got it. You can walk on a revelation. You don't have to worry about that. If somebody could come along right now and take away from you, and you believe in one God, and they deprogram you and convince you a Trinity, you know, God in three persons, blessed, or a River Jordan doctrine that you're trying to do in the message to say that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan, and they're deprogramming the people. You say, Brother Dale, you know, see, we should call names, but we don't. Because a lot of you listen to them that are teaching that. Just be careful. Because it's going to catch you, or you're going to learn it's wrong. It's going to catch you. And then I'm going to have to say something. I don't like that. I want to be a brother in Christ that's trying to help you see the message. And to believe that we need to believe the message. We need to believe the prophet's message. We need to believe the Bible. We need to believe the fivefold ministry. But we need to believe each other. Brother Branham was so gracious a person. A man was telling him about a dream that he had, you remember, and it was about his wife was supposed to be this, that, or the other, and he'd forgive her of that. He said, I wanted to believe that God told him that. But he said he didn't. He said, because it's contrary to the Word. He said, you women preachers, I'm not going to tell you that God didn't call you to preach. You know why? Because the anointing can call them to preach on their spirit. But he said, I'm going to tell you it's not according to the Bible. All right? See, get what I'm saying? Another minute or two. A preacher actually, he needs to study, he needs to prepare, he needs to say things in a way, but yet you don't have to. Now, I write my sermons. I do. I write mine. A lot of preachers don't write them. I write my sermons. I write notes. Do you see the blue and the yellow? That blue means expound upon. The yellow means pick it up, say something about it. The white says, if you got time. Okay? All right. But you see, the preacher needs to go before the Lord and do as we said this morning. He needs the inside teacher himself. All right? And then he needs to go before God and get a message and bring it to the people. And then God will use him in the correct way. Because he'll expound upon the Scriptures. And as he does, then the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Because Brother Branham said a preacher is nothing in the world. He said his gift is to be able to break Satan's spell over your eyes. Right? Where God can speak straight to you. Now, how do you break a spell over people's eyes? Hocus pocus, Jiminy Ocus, we're going to cast some dust out, we're going to clear your mind. No. The only way I know to get anybody's mind in the right order is to preach the gospel. Because according to my Bible, now listen, my Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. See, because you can't have salvation without hearing the gospel. Show me one time they received any Holy Ghost in the Bible without hearing the message first. It's impossible. See? But God is breaking it down to us in the end time to try to get us to believe the message that has been brought unto us. I believe everything the prophet said. People will swear by that. That's all right. I know what you're talking about. I've made them too. But is it a revelation? All right. Now, revelation will heal you. Intellect will try to convince you not to go to the doctor because you need faith. Intellect will take you to the doctor because you realize you don't have it. But a revelation will heal you. It'll deliver you. And anybody that's ever been healed knows what I'm talking about. See, some people's never had an instant healing or style of healing, you know, enough to where that they can just put it on that basis and say that was it. But you see, it's not my job to find some trick, rabbit hat, something to be able to cast some dust or something over you to open your eyes. It's my job to preach the gospel. Because did you notice the scripture now it said? The gospel. The good news. Now, listen to what I'm saying, please. It doesn't say the quickened word right there. It says the gospel is the power of God unto the quickened word. Okay? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's why I'm so careful the way that I try to preach, and I don't mean the mannerism and style. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But that goes with me. Forgive me and forget it. I see you sleepy. I see you do everything. I try to do everything I can to break you away from that. I see you following this trend, and I try to do that. I try to make a funny face to get you to believe or whatever. You know, that's just part of me. But what does the gospel say? That's where I've always asked one question. When anybody leaves here, just show me where I'm off the word. Where you going, whatever's your business. But please come show me where I'm off the word, if I am. Because I want to be right. Sure, I'm stubborn, mule-headed, and everything in the world. Yes, sir. Because you are too. Uh-huh. Two stubborns meeting stubborns. Because you got your idea. You're trying to convince me, or you wouldn't be trying to tell me I was off. But you see, this thing is not made to just play around with. This is a gospel to be lived. This message was to be made to where we could live it. And living the message, see, once now I'm going to make the life statement of what I'm doing. All right? Now, if we believe in progressive understanding, all right, progressive revelation upon the understanding, would not it come to a place one day to where the Bible would be correct? And we know the Bible's correct, but I'm just making a point. The Bible says there'll come a time when the sower will catch up with the reaper. Which way is that? Somebody quote it to me. I just happened to think of that scripture. But there's a place there that the sower and the reaper are going to be together. Now, how is that in the world? It can't be. You can't sow and then reach back down and get your corn out of the ground. But in the Bible, there should be a place come that the sower and the reaper will be running together. Because that's former and latter rain. All right? See? Because what you've heard today, if God quickens it to you, if you only get it in your understanding, it's former rain. If it's quickened, it's latter rain. But you know what? Tomorrow, what you have today is only former rain. See? Why? Because every day there's a word. Is that true? Give me this day my daily bread. All right. So that's why the prophet would preach so much on former and latter rain. Then he preached on dynamics and mechanics. The mechanics is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I gave it to you there this morning. We didn't read it, but it's a refilling of the Holy Ghost. All right? I'm expecting that. Amen. I'm expecting another day of Pentecost. To where not that we're gathered in upper room, but we're gathered around the world to the Word of God, and a snoring will strike home that will just fill every fiber of our being, and we'll go out of here. But to do that, we got to hear. Because what? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word. See, if we don't hear the Word, we can't have faith. All right? So then let's just keep piling the Word in. All right? If we're around here 20 more years, we'd just still be saying the same thing. Because I said this 40 years ago. Keep piling the Word in. Ask Brother Ray if some of these ain't statements made that I made 20 years ago or 30, because he's taking it off and putting it on the DVs for you, CDs and things for you. You know. All right. But you see, I believe that there'll come a place. Now, you'll have to take, and I'd have to take Brother Moat for it anyway, because I've looked it up to try to find the point of it made, but he made the point in this dark. But there's a place in Revelation that is called linguistics. Now, linguistics doesn't mean language. That's what you're thinking automatically. See, linguistics means language. No. Linguistics means that you have reached a place where nothing else can be said. Right? I believe that. That's why I'm not looking for another prophet to come. Because if I did, he'd have something else to say. I believe God brought us the message. But I'm looking for a people to come in that message to the place. And I'll go ahead and say it to you because it's what I believe. Not a new thing because you've heard it. I believe we have enough faith right now to raise all of the dead down through time. I believe the revelation is here to be able to raise up all of those down through time. But if around the world, and I said around the world, I didn't say in one individual, so don't misunderstand that statement. Around the world, the prophet's message is going to be in the bride of Christ until it will be exactly the way he brought it. And nothing else can be added. You talk about an August presence. Then God will come on the scene. Let's stand. Come on. I hope I got my point across. You can have an understanding opened and it not be a revelation. But you can have a revelation, but you'll never have it until your understanding is first opened. So, if I'm not preaching the truth, you have my permission to go wherever you desire. But if they're preaching something more than I do, just please let me have the opportunity to hear. You know, because I want to change. We fought around Horeb long enough, folks. It's time to go into the promised land. You know, we've heard these stories a long time. But it's time for it to be revealed. What do you think about it? Have you had your understanding opened to the Scriptures? But just don't call that the Holy Ghost. Now, see, back up to the morning message. If it wasn't for the preacher preaching it, it wouldn't. So it is anointing. It is the Holy Ghost that opens your understanding. That's the point I've been trying to make. The Holy Ghost opens your understanding, but it doesn't mean he reveals it. Because there's more to be brought. So he can open our understanding of the Scriptures and we can see things. But don't quit. The prophet of God standing there on them seals, and I remember went through it for years and all, and preaching and studying on it and everything. Was down there at General Motors running a job that took two people to run the day I was out and everything, and so fast. And I was standing there working and doing, and the Lord was dealing with me about the opening of the seals, and I was working with a 4,000 heathen, and you know, and there, all at once, he just dropped something down into my heart. And he said, did not the prophet say, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and out there goes a white horse rider? He said, then if you see two people in the Bible, one of them's got to be the Antichrist, because there ain't no two gods. And that quickened that seal right there into my heart. I knew then that I didn't have no problems. So when I got home, I looked to see. And that's exactly what the prophet said at 158 of the seal book. But he was speaking from my memory of what I had read. And telling me, you think I'm worried about anybody turning that down? No. Because I know it's true. I love the Lord, don't you? So go ahead, brother.
Amen. Let's try number 275 and read book 35 and power book. I was sinking
deep in sin for the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now say, am I? Why, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, right? Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else, you have a need?
Love lifted me.
I want it revealed. What? He has opened my understanding. Right? I give you a present. You sit and look at it. I could tell you all that was in the box. Right? I said, now, Brother Anderson, what's in there is a hat, and it's blue, and it's got writing on it, and it says so-and-so. Well, that's all right. He'd go around telling everybody, I got a blue hat and it's got this writing on it. But no, let me tear into the box. I want to see. Let me get inside the box. I want to see what's in there. I just want that in the gospel. I spent my life trying to help you to see what the prophet has said. And the Bible has already said it. There'll be a great reward one day. But you know what? I have no problems with the fact of him saying, depart from me, I never knew you. I had a quote on that this morning. If you'll look at one of those on the anointed ones. Brother Brandon was talking about the anointed ones and how the great signs and wonders. He said, they'll come and say, have not I cast out devils in thy name? Done many mighty wonderful things. You know yourself. And he said, he won't argue with them. He said, he'll just say, depart from me. I never knew you. You never had the new birth. You just had an opening. I want a revelation. What is the call to preach? You see, I run out of time before I get down to really what I want to say. What is the call to preach, Paul? Well, it's all this great shining light. It's all these things on the road to Damascus, and all these things took place. And all the Lord, he never said that. He said the call to preach, whereof I'm called to preach this mystery, he said. The message Paul was to preach was his call to preach. Because only through that message could he open our understanding. My call to preach is not shining lights and all that. It's a message that Brother Branham has brought to us. Let's break it down. There's my call. I'm called to preach these things to you. That's my call. The sanctuary gathered in this. Anybody have a need? Precious name of Jesus to adore. We know.
I know, I don't need to keep coming back to the same thing.
Sister, Lord, but you said you'd help. You'd be a help to all of us, the children and whatever. We're all just little children, but then there's some of us that need a little special, Lord. Just drop down and help our brother, Lord. Make all things well. Let it be you, Lord. It won't change. We're not wanting the man to change. We're wanting to change the situation around the man. We love him like he is.
Yes.
We love him for his little funny things and his funny ways and all. And he wouldn't be right if he wasn't that, Lord. But you be with him. You touch him and you heal him. And we thank you in Jesus' name. It's complete. Anybody else? The Word God. You, Father, thou art worthy, thou art God. Amen and amen. You love him? Just pray one for another. Remember the service is Wednesday night, and just pray that the Lord would bless. And then remember the ones going to the youth camp next weekend and everything. And some of you are going to work and do things like that, and we appreciate it. Appreciate all of the money that has been donated and the things to be able to help Brother Burley and them to put on the thing and help the children and do stuff like that. We appreciate everything. And you that are working, you know, that's wonderful. We're trying, if we can, my wife and I will probably ride up there like Friday night like we did last time, and just to be with them because we, you know, we appreciate the people doing what they can to help the young people and all and help everybody, you know. And all. So it gives an opportunity. But just tell these people how much you appreciate them. Everything's taken care of. Amen. All right. Let's just pray and be dismissed. Remember one another. Father, as we go our separate ways this day, we ask that you would just dwell in our hearts and our lives, and that, Lord, you would speak to us to try to get us to see what you're trying to get us to see, and that's that we need to believe you, and we need to accept what you said, and then you just walk on and wait upon you to manifest yourself. We love you, and we thank you. We ask you to just open our understanding, because in that then we can be prepared for a revelation. And Lord, to be prepared against the day of this change and the things that we're talking about, we need the revelation of the change of the body. We need the revelation to understand the redemption of it. We need all of these things. And we believe, Lord, it'll come through the bride of Jesus Christ as the fivefold ministry tries to break down what the prophet has said unto us, not to try to interpret it to some way or make our own thoughts, but to just say what he said. But to say it in a way that the Holy Spirit can quicken it. Because that's what it has to be. We love you and we thank you. And just go with each one of us on the way home. Take care of everybody. And give a safe journey. Touch those that are sick among us. Touch your wife, Lord, and remove this hurting. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.